The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the COB. I'm Nadine Blaney here with Juliet Sally. And Juliet, we have a little bit of green on our screen.
We do. And we dressed as the twins today in line with the screen behind us. Much better day today. It hasn't been a great sort of 5 days when you look at the overall longer term action for markets. But today we can thank that really solid move that we saw in the materials players for the gain, BHP's update as well. And, a bit more positivity switching through into some of these players that have been hit hard over the last couple of sessions.
Yeah, I mean, by no means am I trying to say that the tensions in the Middle East have waned in any way, shape or form, but there doesn't seem to be something that is really headline driven right now, really exacerbating the fears as to where that will ultimately end up. But, you know, let's take it while we've got it. 9 out of the 11 sectors are higher. We've seen this rebound really extending around the Asian region. We also, yes, the unemployment rate did rise today, Juliet, but all of the analysis that I'm reading is that we've still got a very strong jobs market.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of migration and a lot of more, a lot of people looking for work, which is part and parcel why we saw that unemployment rate rise.
I was listening to Paul Brennan having a chat with Andrew just after those numbers came through, because it did tick up 3.8%, but anecdotally he was saying this is still a very, very solid jobs market. And he's not saying that you'd see any kind of rate cut scenario until at least November. So it doesn't really seem like it's changed the dial. And you've got to remember that February report was such a bumper one. So the 7,000 or around 7,000 jobs lost last month kind of just, making up for some of that.
Our guest who's coming up later, he says that it's just too much to read into these headline jobs numbers that come through. Anyways, David Scott will be joining us shortly. And also good to have Scuddy along on a day that we are watching iron soar.
Iron ore soaring. We love it. We love a pun. This 6% move then, of course, further momentum coming through in Singapore futures as well, really helping to lift those miners. I was just having a great chat with Attila Widnell as well about all of the movement behind it. And, of course, the ongoing woes in China's property sector too that we can't keep forgetting really plays into this commodity. Let's have a look at how the miners fared today, specifically BHP after it came through with its update, up by 1.4%, $45, a nice round number there.
But base metals across the board are looking pretty good today. We saw oil giving back some of its price gains, but the banks, as a sector, again, they were pushing higher today. Tech as well. I mean, if we're looking for just a good news story, that's it as well, with NextDC up by 1.6%, and even Life360. And now, Juliet, before you get thrown, I was out there working away in the newsroom while you were in here doing amazing interviews as always. We don't usually go sort of offshore.
To Taiwan, yeah.
But TSMC's results are out. It posted a 9% rise in first quarter net profit that beat market expectations. Again, this is a AI semi story. It is the world's largest contract chip maker, and it does so for the likes of Apple and Nvidia. Get this, profit $6.97 billion in the quarter. I mean,
it's incredible.
We throw these numbers around a lot, but when you think about it, I mean, that's just eye-watering. And shares in the company are up by 36% so far this year.
That's going to have a big implication to the NASDAQ, I would assume, tonight as well. Let's have a look, in terms of some of the other corporate stories we're following. We touched on BHP's update. Why is that now saying it's $58.41? Didn't we just show it was $45? Maybe we've got one company from the different market.
We'll keep a...
It's 45, so that might be the maybe the ADRs. Anyway.
It could be, yeah. Total copper production guidance remaining unchanged. Copper's a real buzz right now, just because of not only the decarbonization story, but if you think back to TSMC and you think back to data centers that are driving AI, think about all that electrical infrastructure that's needed. MMA Offshore, so we had Santos out with its production report. Revenue there falling about 14%, but in the smaller end, MMA Offshore is sort of a gas and oil play, picks and shovels type thing, and it had a actually increased its guidance today. Challenger and AMP were out in the financial space.
Yeah, Challenger shares rising by a nice 12%, mm-hmm. expecting to hit the upper end of its guidance, and AMP reporting a near, well, a 3.7% quarter-on-quarter decline, excuse me, in its total loan book to $23.5 billion. Shares, though, I don't think they went up by 11%. I'm not sure what's happening to our graphics.
I'm not sure either. We'll get that off the screen. And I also thought just an interesting one, BlueScope Steel. So U.S. President Biden said that the country would be imposing tariffs on Chinese steel imports. So that's a story that broke through the day today. Still, though, we did see BlueScope Steel shares. They were a bit volatile today, but ending 2.3% lower.
And the stock of the day, ResMed. You spoke to Grady Wolf.
Yeah, and Howard Coleman, because again, ResMed shares were getting hit on yet another
Eli Lilly
weight loss drugs. Will that mean nobody will need their sleep apnea machines? Well, let's hear what they had to say.
Pretty much every year for the past 10 years, you've been able to buy it, all except 1 year, you've been able to buy it for a PE of somewhere around about where it is now or lower. There have been years where it's been down to a PE of 21 and 19. So it's not amazingly cheap. But, you know, even if you bought it today, if you added to it or bought it for the first time today, the chances are over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to do really, really well out of it.
With ResMed, it's such a strong company. They have their margin just went up last quarter by 90 basis points to 56.9%. So if that doesn't speak volumes in how their cost management goes on a financial side versus also the fact that they're still selling products, that just speaks volumes in itself. And yeah, so I'm a buy.
I think Grady went on to say she's a strong buy, and Howard was a buy, so that's going to the investment committee.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure it might be in there already. We'll see.
Ooh, a nice post-it note on the wall over there. Let's get to David Scott from City Index, who joins us. Scotty, I want to talk to you about iron ore. What kind of momentum have you been watching in this commodity we know you love to watch?
I've been watching it, but your previous guest, Satilla, if he doesn't know what the answer is to what's driving it, I can't help you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I know from a technical perspective, I've been watching that. And every time we're seeing a dip below $100 in the recent times, it's really acted as a kind of like a mechanism to go and spark buying. And we saw a lovely, you know, bounce off that, some really, really bullish price action. I thought the move was done and dusted a couple of days ago, but then Wooshka again yesterday, massive volumes going through. Again, no real explanation as to what's behind it. Today, though, I'm watching from a technical perspective, there's a downtrend resistance just above 116. And it's bumped into that. It tried to go through and it's been rejected so far. So keep a close eye on that one. That might go and dictate the near-term direction.
Yeah, all right. So we're watching that. I mentioned TSMC that did report in Taiwan. You know, foreshadowing, I suppose, what we could hear coming from some chip makers in the U.S. through earnings season. So when you look technically at what's happening in some of these key markets, what are you seeing, Scotty?
I'm seeing a lot of trends breaking down, and not just know what's going on a technical perspective, but you look at some of the fundamental factors as well. And everything, the dynamic, the market dynamic that we've become accustomed to so far this year has really gone and changed. You can talk about real yields in the United States are hitting fresh year-to-date highs, nominal bond yields hitting fresh year-to-date highs, dollar index hitting fresh year-to-date highs. So all this kind of thing is filtering through. It's all the kind of things that you don't want to go and see from a risk appetite perspective. Then you overlay what some of the price action has been, started off with the NASDAQ, the SPX, our local market has been joining in, the Nikkei as well is another one that looks like it might break down. So this huge uptrend that we're seeing pretty much since the start of the year that was driven by that expectations through multiple Fed rate cuts coming through is now starting to go and break down. And obviously we're still talking about 1.5 cuts now from the Fed. There could be a long way to go further.
What did you think in terms of the jobs report here that's always very volatile and what that could mean, if anything, for the RBA?
Look, mate, if I'm being honest, probably not a lot. And I don't think anything that came out of today's report's really going to change the message. We knew going into it that the labour market was still in pretty decent shape. We know that things are gradually cooling down. The month-to-month gyrations in the seasonally adjusted figures right now just make it meaningless. And we saw that in the market reaction today. took a look at it, unemployment up a tenth, saw a small decrease in employment, participation down a tenth, and the interest was just gone. There was no market reaction, not just in the stock market, not in the Aussie dollar, not in rates world. The biggest move today was from what happened in Chinese markets soon after when they opened up, everything came back to life. It really gives you a sense that it's not really being perceived as a useful release right now, which is problematic considering how important the labour market is when it comes to the overall economic trajectory.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic to keep an eye on. When you think, though, because you name drop China, you know, China's just so massively important right now to, you know, the outlook for commodities. Yeah, we know that. You know, the outlook for the Aussie dollar, we know that. Its interest in buying physical gold as gold continues to soar to record height. So is China pulling a lot of your focus now, Scotty?
The vast majority in the Asian time zone, absolutely. It's driving a lot of momentum. Earlier on in the year, it was all about the dollar yen, it was about the Nikkei and that kind of trend there. But we're seeing a gradual turnaround of the Chinese economy. Not enough to go and get really excited about it. We know there's been a lot of state-backed intervention as well to go and support these markets. But it's really some of the moves we're seeing now counter-cyclical to what we're seeing in other markets. You know, Chinese stocks today, when it hit yet fresh 2024 highs, the yuan has also been pretty strong against other currencies around Asia. When you put that into perspective, that's really important for the broader region. So keep a close eye on that. If we start to see Chinese stocks go and move higher, I dare say that we'll probably see Asian stocks more broadly push higher as well.
All right. And of course, just looking ahead as well, Scotty, we're almost, it's crazy to believe the end of April when we look next week, that shortened trading week. Your thoughts on what traders should be looking out for?
It comes down to the economic data. The Fed's data dependent right now. The data's made the case for the Fed to go and sit on its hands, and it's finally acknowledged that. Anything that comes out when it comes to some of the data is going to be really driving things. We saw last night, the dollar came off the boil a little bit, bond yields came off the boil. So we might be hitting the extremes of the move that we've seen since the beginning of the year. But that's really going to be the key driver at the moment. Earnings as well. You can't go and look at what's happening next week. I think we've got Apple, Amazon, Meta, Alphabet, and Tesla. Just a few small names to go and report. So I dare say that will be probably pretty influential as well on the stock markets at least.
It was a mouthful there when it comes to US earnings. And just one thought on, today's price action. So up, it looks like by about half of 1%. Down though, still Scotty on the week, close to 2%. So when you look at our market, the S&P ASX 200 technically, like one day like today does not a trend make.
No, it doesn't. And I describe it as a bit of a battle royale going underway at the moment. We're seeing that break from the uptrend. And then the last couple of days, there were some pretty decent bids coming through below 7,600 in SPY futures. Today, it looked like we might go and snap back higher. But again, Chinese equities came off the boil a little bit, and we came back as well. So it's really kind of like non-definitive, the other price action right now. If you had to go and put a gun to my head and say, which direction do we go from here? I would say still lower in the near term.
Well, David Scott, City Index, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Great to be here. Thank you.
See you, Scotty.
All right. Let's have a look at the leaders and laggards in today's session. Telix Pharmaceuticals had a great day, up 8.4%. Challenger, we've touched on, and Bellevue Gold. There was a broke upgrade, no, a quarterly update for Bellevue, wasn't there?
Yeah, so there was 4%. A quarterly production update, and it looked as if they were sticking by all their targets going forward as well. Some of the laggards, and we are looking towards Sayona Mina, Evolution Mining. It was out with a production report earlier in the week. It did pretty well off the back of that, pulling back here. ResMed, we've talked about why, was the stock of the day, down by 4.6%. It has its quarterly coming out. Next week, of course, it reports in the United States, and we'll be talking with Mick Farrell, so no doubt he'll be giving us his take on those weight loss drugs.
Always lovely chatting to him. All right, let's have a look at the small end of town. Next, Science had a great day, up 17%. Airtasker up 10.4%. Coventry, Aeris Resources, Elixir Energy.
Yeah, thanks, Airtasker. I got a refund for a task. Ooh. That they had my money in escrow for quite some time, so I appreciate that. And on the flip side, we've got Southern Cross Gold down by close to 9%. We did see oil prices, Horizon Oil, I'm just noting, is down by 8%. So oil prices did pull back significantly with a slight calming in those tensions in the Middle East. next?
Yeah, looking ahead tonight, weekly jobless claims data, not really unemployment data, it's just that weekly look at who's been trying to line up for unemployment benefits. US existing home sales, the CB leading index, central bank, I guess that is. And earnings as well coming through from the likes of Netflix, which is a big one. Alaska Airlines, DR Horton as well.
And also, don't forget, we've got the FOMC's Bowman, Williams, Bostic all due to speak. So it's going to be a good morning when we get here tomorrow. And tomorrow here locally, not a lot on the horizon. We had the big one this week today, which was the jobs report. But we do get further quarterly updates coming from these miners. So Pilbara, so lithium, Woodside, think LNG and oil, and Whitehaven Coal as well. So that'll give us something to chew the fat about when we're in tomorrow morning.
And I think, yeah, the big reaction as well to that TSMC number will be really, really key too. Let's have a look at where we are at for the final day's trade check. 0.4% on the CBOE 200. What did you say in terms of sectors? They were pretty much mostly higher.
Yeah,
today.
9 out of 11 last 11. I checked.
Yeah, so yeah, that's still right. So healthcare and telcos lower, but materials up 1%. The ASX 200 finishing higher by 36 points, 7,642.
And I will note that US E-minis are in positive territory now. Now, I know that doesn't, you know, necessarily translate. There's plenty of water to go under the bridge between now and then, as well as data points as well. But it is, you know, interesting to note, considering the big wobbles that we've seen coming through in US stocks. And yeah, just getting some reports on Bloomberg that we've got the United States, Japan, and South Korea agreeing to consult closely, that's a quote, on foreign exchange markets in their first trilateral finance dialogue that's coming today. You know, really sort of with the US acknowledging some of those concerns coming from the Asian countries over the currencies. Recent sharp, you know, very sharp
decline.
Whether or
not we're going to see another 1998 currency crisis. All right, we'll leave you with that positive thought. No, I'm kidding.
No.
we'll leave you with the fact that markets were higher today. Yeah. And we'll be back from 9:40 Eastern.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone. Trusted by traders in over 160 countries.